Well, I'm going to share a message. I'm going to try to abbreviate it a little bit here. So I won't even get to our full message, but I want to talk a little bit about this morning, because we've been talking about spiritual growth, and I feel like the Lord's kind of had me at least for on several weeks on spiritual growth and maturing in the Lord. And this morning is probably your favorite topic. I know it's probably not my favorite topic, but it's called obedience, okay? That's not a word that we always love or embrace, right? Because we know, even when we were growing up, there were just things that we didn't want to do, right? There were just things we didn't want to do. But we know, if we read scriptures, God does call us to obedience. And our love for the Lord is actually tied in with obedience. So there's things that bring you joy, knowing that you're doing the will of God. And on the other hand, there's probably things that you have convictions in your heart about where the Word of God seems hard to follow. And I know all of us probably have times where we read the Word of God and we feel blessed, hallelujah, and then sometimes we read the Word of God and say, oh me, oh my, Lord, I'm not there yet. And that's okay, because like, as the game plays, as Kim was saying, is we are in process and God is working in us. We have come a wonderful ways, but we still have a ways to go. But we do celebrate where we have gotten to. Praise God. Well, obeying God is not always the easiest thing to do, but it's the best thing. It's the absolute best thing. Obeying God challenges our will, because it must be challenging. Because simply put, God's nature is not our nature. They're very distinct, as we have come to understand in the Christian faith. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55 says it really, really clearly in verse 8 through 9. It says this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are higher than ours. This is where Moses asked God, God, teach me your ways. Teach us your ways, O Lord. This was the cry of Moses' heart. The psalmist writes in Psalm 86, he says, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. It was the cry of the psalmist's heart. We simply understand that God's ways are not our ways. And yet, he's teaching us. He's showing us. He wants to instruct his people. So do we believe that we can learn the ways of God? Do we believe that? Do we have a belief in our system of understanding God, in our belief system, that we can learn the ways of God? If we do, then we know that our will and nature will be profoundly challenged. It will be profoundly challenged by a God of a higher nature, of a perfect nature, of a holy nature. Let me go back to Dr. Tony Evans's quote from last week. I mentioned it. He said this. He said, maturing Christians, right? Maturing Christians are developing the ability to consistently look at life from the perspective of Holy Spirit, not the flesh. I'll repeat that one more time. Maturing Christians are developing the ability to consistently look at life from the perspective of Holy Spirit and not the flesh. So more and more as we're growing in the Lord, we begin to see things God's way and not our way, not our natural fleshly way that we maybe grew up with. There's things in the natural that we grew up. There's things in this world that we grew and we thought were right. But God's showing us, no, I have a better way. In fact, the way that you know is corrupt and corrupting. But God's way is perfect and holy and gives life. So this means that as a maturing Christian, that as I grow, I'm growing in Him. I'm gaining more of God and losing myself. Simply put, I'm becoming more like God. That's what the calling is. The calling is to become more Christ-like, to become more like Him. In our growth, our walk, our maturing in life, we're becoming more like Him. Now, I say that, but some believers approach spiritual growth as optional. And if we look at the scriptures, spiritual growth is not optional. They come to this idea that growth comes with challenges, and oh, well, yes, it does. Growth does come with challenges. We talked about last week that there's growing pains. If you're growing as a Christian, you should experience growing pains. That's just natural. Just like it is in the physical realm, as we grow as Christians, there are pains. There are things that go, oh, ow, Lord, that's hard. That's not easy. Because sometimes God's teaching, simply put, it challenges us in a very, very poignant way. But some Christians come and say, why grow? Why should I grow? Aren't I saved? I'm saved, right? I'm going to heaven. Why do I need to grow? I want to live life on my terms, not God's terms. And yet that's how some Christians live. They say, I'm going to live on my terms. However, we know that this mindset, it dishonors God. It's dishonoring to God. This person is not concerned about Christian maturity or fruitfulness. And it looks, when we look back at the scriptures on the sowing of the seeds and the soils, it really falls in line with Luke 8:14, the seed that fell among thorns. If we look back at that scripture, Luke 8:14 says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear the word of God, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They do not mature because they're choked out by all the things of this world. Well, we've seen that. We've experienced that. We've probably all experienced that, where things of this world were really more important than God, than walking with God and maturing in the Lord. We've probably all seen that and experienced that in our lives. But God is good. He's still working in our lives. Well, God doesn't just save us and that's it. He calls us to grow and mature, to bear forth fruit. That was the fourth soil, right? That was the fourth soil of good soil, which is a good heart. A heart that receives the word of God, that holds on and retains the word of God, growing in everything that God calls us to grow in. Paul speaks to the growth of new Christians in Colossae. So Colossians 1, verse 9, he speaks to them. He says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. There's a blessing in that. Do you hear it? There's a blessing in that. You'll grow and bear all kinds of fruit, all kinds of good fruit. You'll grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding as you get to know God better and better. See, this kind of mindset sets itself upon God. It's intentional about setting itself upon God, a mind that wants to honor God, a mindset that wants to please God. A person who goes with God and follows his instruction loves God. 1 John 5:3 says it pretty clearly, and there's several places throughout the Bible. It says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Now, some people count them as burdensome because they're not what they want to do. They're not what their flesh wants to do. They're not what they want to do. So it seems burdensome because it goes against their will. But there's actually blessing in following God and keeping His commands. You know, throughout the Bible, God tells us that it's a very important element to a right relationship, to obey His instructions, to obey Him. Okay? He spoke to the Israelites and He speaks to the church today that His word brings life. There's life in His word. It's not just words on a page. It's not just things that were spoken long ago and have no effect for today, but there's life in His word. And He says, do it. Be doers of the word. James 1 speaks very clearly. You probably know this very well. James 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Did you hear that? There's blessing in God's word. There's blessing in the doing. Not merely hearing, not merely listening to it, but doing the word. So there's a distinction today we have to know. And we know, right? There's a distinction between hearing, listening, reading, and then knowing, God, this applies to me. This applies to me, Lord. Obedience is a huge component of our spiritual growth. I don't think there's any way we can go around this. There's no shortcut. Sometimes we want shortcuts in life, and there's no shortcut around this. Hearing God's word, learning God's word, it brings revelation. There's revelation that the word of God brings forth. Yet James says very clearly that we're blessed. Not just having the revelation. It's wonderful to have, oh, God gave me revelation. God gave me truth. He really revealed things to me. But the blessing is in the doing. So God is speaking his purpose and his will in scriptures. So if God is doing that, if he's speaking his will to me through the scriptures and by his Holy Spirit, then there's something I need to do. You know, God will use the scriptures. He'll use other believers. Sometimes he'll use other believers to confirm the word that he had already spoken to us in the word. Sometimes it's just God getting our attention because he wants us to come to a greater level of obedience. And we all can. We all can come to a greater level of obedience. No one has arrived to a place of full obedience. That probably would be martyrdom at the cross, which some have given literally everything. Well, there's a greater purpose of God at work in us and for us. And God wants to do something rich in our lives. And he's not mean, and he's not controlling. I don't know what your parents were like when they told you to clean your room. I don't know what you were like when you told your kids to clean their room. Maybe you were the pointing finger and angry parent, or maybe you had that or experienced that. Or maybe it was just a tension that you just didn't like to do it, so that created a tension, and it was always a fuss and a fight to clean your room, right? But we couldn't just have our room any old way we wanted it. That peanut butter jelly sandwich had to be picked off of the floor, right? Now, we thought when we were five, it's not bothering anybody. Why do we need to pick it up? It's my room anyway, right? Well, we may think it's our room, but it's not our house, right? And that's true with God, too. We may have our lives, but the reality is it belongs all to God. God has, our house belongs to God, really. So we say, oh, it's my life. I can do anything the old way I want to do it. But not if we're a follower of God, not if we belong to God, not if we belong to him. We don't really belong fully to ourselves. And God has a purpose in everything, even that peanut butter jelly on your floor. There's a purpose in cleaning it up and getting it off. And sometimes it's a simple revelation that God knows things and sees things that we don't. That's just a simple revelation. His ways are higher than our ways. He sees things that we don't. He understands things that we don't. So I need to trust him. When we begin to submit ourselves fully to him, we open ourselves more to him. We open ourselves to his authority. And we understand it far surpasses us in every which way. He does. He far surpasses us in every which way. So back to the peanut butter jelly on the floor. Kid doesn't see a problem with that, maybe. I mean, many kids would, but some kids might not. Parents do, right? Parents do, because that sandwich, you leave it on the floor, well, it's going to bring ants. It's going to bring bugs, right? You might even get a little visitor of the rodent species coming in your house. Parents know that, kids don't. But what about those rats? Do you want rats? Do you live with rats? No. Well, God doesn't want you to live with rats. Spiritually speaking, there are things in our lives that if we leave a mess, it invites filth, worldly filth, and it invites ungodly spirits into our lives. So God's like, no, no, I want you to follow my commands. I want you to listen to my word because it's good. It's good. It brings forth life. And yes, there's messes in your life that must be cleaned up. There's filth that has to go. You may not want to clean your room, but there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in it. The reality is God wants to bless us, but it requires our part, and that part is obedience. Obedience is so crucial to spiritual maturity. We don't get to spiritual maturity without it. There's just no shortcut. Now, let's talk about revelation for a second. Let's talk about hearing God. We all want to hear God. We all do hear God. We've probably had experiences of hearing God. Sometimes just simply reading his word, God highlights something for us. Very clearly, very specific. He is like speaking to us through that word. And maybe we've read that word 10 times, that scripture 10 times, but now he's highlighting it by his spirit. He's saying, this applies to you. I'm speaking to you. And he gives you sometimes some very specific things. Let's say, for instance, he speaks to you from James 1:27. He says, religion that the God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, in just reading that scripture, everybody might have heard something a little differently. But maybe the Lord highlighted for you ministry to orphans. And God highlights this as you read this. And he's saying, no, this applies to you. And you're like, okay, God, well, I agree with that. We need to have ministry to orphans. It's important. It's important to have ministry to orphans. And you realize that it's God's heart, and it must be reflected in God's people. And you feel like, okay, I am God's people. It applies to me then, because I'm part of that. And so we agree with the word, but then what happens when we don't do anything with the word? We don't do anything with it. And maybe our initial thought is, well, I agree with it, but how do I do something like that? I mean, how? I don't know how to do something like that. And of course, we all can have those mindsets. A lot of times when we encounter God's word, we read his word and say, God, I'm not sure what to do. But I feel like you're saying there's something to do here in my life. But if it stops there, then really it's disobedience. Now God will remind you. He does. God does remind us. And sometimes he'll bring it through another person. He'll confirm it in some way. He'll just bring that back around to you in a memory to your remembrance. And again, we will agree with God. It's not being hard-hearted necessarily. We agree with God, but still nothing. Still no action, no nothing of obedience. And, you know, this interest, because if we take what God has given us and sometimes say, okay, Lord, and we give it back to him, we pray it back to him, almost like a question to God. It's almost like saying, God, I see your heart, but what can I do? What can I do to follow your word? Now, it's important to say, to be honest in your heart, to say, God, what can I do? As opposed to, God, what can I do? Because that question can also be like, Lord, I have no power, ability, or anything else, so don't look at me, right? As opposed to, God, if you're saying this to me, you have intention. So God, what can I do to follow this word? How shall I change? Because implicit in that is, oh, I've got to change something. There's something I'm not doing that I need to be doing. Or maybe God's word is speaking to you and saying there's something you're doing that you need to stop doing. There's a change. There's a challenge. There's a implicit in that what God's speaking to you is that there is a growth to happen, to take place. So it's very important that we pray that back to God and we seek. See, at that point, we become seekers. And we have to seek him on how to live out his word. How shall I do that? Because I find it challenging or I find it difficult. So I got to go to God on how to, Lord, show me your ways, but Lord, show me how to follow in your pathways, to come to higher ways of living. So we want to hear God, but it's important that the intention of our heart is right before God. See, when we go to God and we seek him, it's with the intention of following him, But it's very important, because if we have zero intention of doing God's word, then why would God speak to us, right? If I have zero intention of following God's word, why would God speak to me? Why would God give me revelation when he knows in my heart that I'm not going to follow? It doesn't make for a very good relationship. So honestly, if you ignored the last thing God said to you, why would you expect a new thing from God? See, sometimes we don't realize where we have been journeying with God and something stopped. Something kind of got into a rut in our lives. Here's a good prayer. God, was I disobedient to you in any way? Or God, where was I disobedient to you? Because sometimes we are clueless. Because sometimes we don't know. But if your intention of your heart is to know and to get right with God, then the true intention of the heart will say, Lord, where was I obedient to you? Show me where I intentionally ignored your word and ignored Holy Spirit. That's not an easy prayer to pray, because he will speak. He will show you if you're sincere. If the intention of your heart is sincere. Oswald Chambers speaks to obedience. He wrote My Utmost for His Highest. Some may have read that or read parts of that. He was a 19th century Scottish pastor. And his wife compiled his works into this devotional. This was July 27th. He said, no one ever receives a word from God. No one ever receives a word from God without instantly being put to the test regarding it. We disobey, and then we wonder why we're not growing spiritually. Jesus said, and quoting Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Oswald Chambers is saying, we come before God with our offering. But yet the Lord says, I want you to go and be reconciled to your brother. First do that. Be first to obey that. See, God gives us his word. Sometimes we don't always understand his word, right? We don't always understand his word, but sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's very simple. Don't come before God bringing a gift when you're unreconciled to your brother in Christ. First go be reconciled, right? Sometimes that's really not hard to understand. It's in the doing of it, right? It's in the doing. And it's like God is saying, your worship will be pleasing to me when your heart is right with your brother and sister. If you're holding something, hatred in your heart or anything in your heart against your brother and sister, your worship's not pleasing to me. Go be reconciled to your brother or sister. It's in the doing of the word. It simply takes obedience. You know, Brian Wills shared his testimony. He didn't share his old testimony. So you have the book. I don't know. I think we still have a copy back there. You're welcome to that copy to read. If you're going to read his testimony, it's his whole testimony, 10 Days to Live. If you haven't, it's be wonderful, a wonderful read. It will bless you and increase your faith. But part of his testimony is this. He was crying out to God because he was dying. I mean, the doctors told him he was going to die. And he was crying out to God, God, I believe you're going to heal me. Lord, heal me. And so as he was doing that, the Lord eventually wakes him up and speaks to him and says, I want you. He says, I have things for you to do. And this is what you need. He gives steps to him, and the first step was to call somebody and to ask for forgiveness. Somebody from years past. And there were steps laid out to his healing, and God was saying, first, I want you to forgive. And Brian did that. That was one of his steps in the process of what God was doing in his healing. And it's interesting, because when the Holy Spirit comes and speaks, and we hear that and say, okay, let me do that, no matter how hard it was. And you know, the interesting thing about that story was he didn't have the phone number. He says, God, I don't have the phone number. And then Holy Spirit gave him a number, and he wrote it down and said, okay. And he just called this number by faith, and it was the person. So what I'm saying is God's a miracle God, but sometimes it just takes our obedience to step in to actually see his miracles. And sometimes we need to pray things back and say, Lord, you said I'm sitting here, A, and you said to get to B, but I don't know how to get there. Lord, I need help. And the Lord can provide help, but it's the intention of the heart. He just needs to know, is your intention of the heart to follow? Is the intention of your heart to be obedient? Proverbs 3, 5, 8, and I'm going to, this will be my last scripture. There's so much in the Bible that speaks to this. We don't want to live lives of self-vindication. We don't want to live lives insisting on our understanding of things. And sometimes we'll go and say, but God, let me tell you how this went in my life and all the things that were wrong and all the things that happened. And sometimes we just want to repeat and repeat and repeat all the terrible things and this happened and what, you know, and to tell God why we are the way we are and why we have what we have and all the things. And sometimes we can do that with God. And sometimes really that's a life of self-vindication. But that's not going to help you. That's not going to help anybody. Proverbs 3, 5 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Implicit in that is your understanding is corrupt. It's just not going to work. Right? Instead, seek His will in all that you do. He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Sometimes we just need to meditate upon God's word and just let it get in us and what He says. And there's just things that sometimes it's like, okay, God's going to do His part. God's going to do things for us that are amazing. We're going to see miracles. But it's just sometimes, oh God, what is my part? What do I need to do? How can I lean not on my understanding, but on yours? Because God, I want to see things your way. How do you see this? What's your understanding of this? And we have conversations with God. We need to have conversations with God. Because sometimes, simply put, our understanding is not sufficient. You know, God is like a master gardener. If we give our lives to Him, He'll prune us. He'll shape us. He'll fertilize our soil. He'll do things to help us become more bountiful because He knows how. He knows how to increase the fruitfulness of our lives. He knows how. But it does mean surrender to Him. It means surrendering to the sharp pruning snippers. Is that what we call them? Snippers? Yeah. Pruners. And, you know, it may hurt, but He's just lopping off the stuff that's dead in our life. He's just getting rid of things that's not producing life. And what He wants to do is He wants to replace with new growth that will bear fruit, that will flourish and be abundant. That's what God wants to do. But we have to rely on His understanding. God's words will instruct me in God's ways. And then I am to ask Holy Spirit to give me greater understanding. And how to be obedient, how to do it, to follow God. If that's my heart, the Lord will open up revelation in some amazing ways. So that's where we start, making sure our heart is good soil and saying, Lord, may my heart be good soil to do what You want to do, to be a faithful follower of You. So that's what God wants. And I just want that, and I pray for that will be our desire. That we'll see it, we'll understand it, we'll take hold of the power of obedience. There's power in obedience because it will release things in our life and some things that just nothing else will. Because sometimes what's holding back some things in our life is just that, is obedience. So that's my prayer this morning, that we'll grow, that we'll all grow, that we'll grow in the bountifulness of God. We'll grow as mature believers. But just know, part of that is Your part, Lord. Show me how to walk in obedience, that I can do according to Your will and be according to Your design.